I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we have a show for you today. Today of all days, today is World Backup Day. So it's a very good day to have a Dr. Bill show on. You know, I am all about doing backups. Not me personally, although I do backups personally, but telling you that you need to do backups. That's what World Backup Day is all about, is to encourage people to back up their data. You don't want to be the guy who says, oh no, I didn't do a backup. What am I going to do? Dude, your data is gone. Just get over it. And if you don't want to be that guy and you don't want to just get over it, do a backup. Do a local backup. Do it off-site or in the cloud backup. And store it somewhere secure, okay? That's the only way you're going to have all your stuff. And if you have stuff that you don't want to lose, like photographs, videos, various records, financial records, things of that nature, do a backup. I'm telling you. It's the only thing that's going to save you from much weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? All right. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here. On Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, we're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes. So, the blog. The blog, of course, is the blog that we always mention, which is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Now, go to that blog because there is a very special link you need to click. Okay? There's some links you don't want to click. This is a link you do want to click, all right? And that is a special offer from our friends at Cloudberry Labs. They contacted me and said, hey, Dr. Bill, do you want to offer your listeners a really good deal? And I said, hey, I'm always about really good deals, all right? So I put it on the blog. It's the very first post after the last show. The last show was number 434. This is 435. Therefore, the very next one, which was posted March the 28th, a couple days ago, to give you the maximum opportunity, because this is a very narrow window of opportunity. Okay? What we have here is an offer for 50% half off the Cloudberry Labs Cross-Platform Cloud Backup. That's hard to say. Let's just call it Cloudberry Lab Backup. That's easier. But it's all of their platforms. So in other words, Windows, Mac OS, and Linux. You can choose either one of those platforms, and you can get 50% off by clicking on the link that will take you to the special site. Now, here's the thing. This special offer is only available until April 2nd. So that's coming up really quick. Some of you are not even watching this show until April 2nd or later. If it's later, sorry. But hey, if you have time, take advantage of this special offer, 50% off. Now, that's not all we have. We also have a free white paper on the importance of backup when you're dealing with a ransomware situation. Now, this assumes, of course, that you did the backup before you got hit with the ransomware. Otherwise, all bets are off. Again, the reason for doing backups, okay? And then we also have another link on the same article, which is free ransomware response webinar. This is a webinar that is absolutely free from the folks at Cloudberry Backup, and I lost my key light again. I don't know why that always goes out. It leaves me just with a little shadow right here because that's what it lights up. Oh well, you'll just have to deal with it like me. At any rate, but this is a really good deal. This is a super deal. You need to take advantage of it. And let's move on to the next item. Next item is SUSE Enterprise Linux. Now, SUSE Enterprise Linux is a very good, high-quality version of Linux, full-featured, that is used in data centers. This is a Linux that I have used when I worked at our local hospital, High Point Regional. This was one of the versions of Linux. We ran a lot of Red Hat, and we ran a few things under SUSE, including the email system at the time, before we moved to Exchange. We were running the Novell, believe it or not, GroupWise email, which ran on a SUSE Linux Enterprise server. Now, what's unusual about this article is talking about SUSE Enterprise Linux for the Raspberry Pi 3. A little bitty card, okay? But the full version of SUSE Enterprise Linux on a Raspberry Pi 3. Now, as I say in the article, can you imagine an entire data center of Raspberry Pis, little bitty boxes stacked on top of each other that would be your entire data center? You actually could do that. That would be weird, but you could do it. So check that article out. It's very odd that you could do that. But this is where we're coming to, is the ability to do a lot more with a lot less. That's kind of the way we're going in the computing world. All right, next item. Next item is MyFitnessPal. Now, I am / was a user of MyFitnessPal. I started using it back when I weighed about 600 pounds. Okay, and the whole idea of MyFitnessPal is that you can keep track of your weight and how you're losing it over time and what you're eating. So you plug in what you eat every day. It tells you what your calorie count is, tells you what your goal calorie count is, and it tells you essentially where you should be, how much you should have lost if you held to the diet, so to speak, okay? Now, I have several years of data in MyFitnessPal. I quit entering it when I got sick and lost all the weight, you know, without having to do anything other than I quit eating because I didn't feel very good. So I lost a ton of weight, got all of that off, got down to below 150 pounds, which for a 6'2" guy, that's kind of ridiculous. I've since gained back to, let's say, a more comfortable weight, although I need to probably lose a few pounds from here, between you and me. But at any rate, I have all that data in MyFitnessPal. Now, there's nothing secret or proprietary about that data, but... MyFitnessPal was broken into, and they stole everybody's password. They stole any information you had in there. It's all been compromised, okay? MyFitnessPal is owned by the Under Armour company, and they put out released a notice that, yes, it has been compromised. However, no credit cards were stolen. No financial information was stolen. But whatever you put in there was subject to have been stolen, hacked, gotten, pwned, okay? So, what they're recommending is that if you have a MyFitnessPal account, which I did and do, go in and change your password, which I did. And I changed it to some ridiculous password that nobody in a million years would ever guess. I don't even really use MyFitnessPal much anymore. I might go back to it now that I need to drop a few more pounds, but it's a pretty good platform. It actually is very nice, and it's free, but they did get hacked, sad to say. Now, they're not the first, and they won't be the last to get hacked, okay? But be aware, if you are a user of any of these places, like MyFitnessPal, that have been hacked, the very best thing you can do, don't panic. You know, like Hitchhiker says, don't panic, but go and change your password ASAP, okay? Matter of fact, just pause the video or the audio and go do it now. And then come back and finish watching, all right? Sounds good. All right, whoa! Yes, Fred, you haven't said anything, but you certainly let me know that it was time for Geek Software of the Week. He loves to press that drum roll button. His finger hovers over it to press the drum roll button. And so he did. But we do have a Geek Software of the Week, and actually this is a pretty good Geek Software of the Week. Sometimes I'm not as excited about a Geek Software Week as I am about others. And this is a good one. Good one. U-N. Good one. All right. So this is one called JetBoost. All right. Free, absolutely free software called JetBoost. You install it on your computer, on your Windows computer. It will go out and stop and or pause all the programs that you may have running on your program in the background. If you are going to do something on your computer that requires maximum power, more power, you know, it's like calling down to Scotty, giving me more power. I cannot give you more power, Captain. Well, he could if he had JetBoost, at least as far as a PC is concerned, because it will turn off all the stuff that's superfluous at the moment. All right, then you can turn it back on after you get through with it. Now, the idea is if you want to, like, let's say you want to render a video, okay, which requires a lot of CPU, a lot of memory. You run JetBoost, and then you render your video, it should perform better. Now, for a more mundane, but more likely scenario for most people, is if you needed to play a game, and you wanted to squeeze every last bit of power out of your computer. You run JetBoost, close down all the applications. Obviously, you want to exclude the ones that you absolutely need to run. As my son, the Game Master, pointed out to me, there are some things you have to run if you're gaming. Well, okay, understand, you can tweak it to keep those running. But, you know, who needs Adobe Reader running in the background? Or the iTunes update wizard that always sits there running in the background? Or one of my favorites to fuss at is Logitech's webcam software. It just sits out there running, and you're not even using a webcam. Okay, this will shut all of that down. One click will boost, will shut down all the unnecessary processes, and essentially, in effect, because of that, boost your performance. You get the maximum capacity out of your PC for focusing on gaming only, if that's your venue. You can focus on work by removing distractions from irrelevant applications, you know, things that pop up and tell you, hey, look at me, do this, don't you want to update? You know, all that kind of stuff. Customize the boost model. Set up your boost model by choosing which applications you would like to shut down. That way you could keep things running, like the gaming apps that you might need to run your games, okay? It is clean and safe, free from malware, spyware, and viruses, and it's 100% free. Just download it, install it, good to go, okay? I've got the link in the blog, the aforementioned drbill.tv blog. Okay, so check that out. And then finally, the last item. This is something that I'm pretty excited about because I've talked about it before here on the program, and that is ubiquitous Wi-Fi. I like the word ubiquitous. It just, you know, it's one of those words that makes you sound so smart. Yes, Fred. I get to sound that way. Anyway. Yes. So, ubiquitous. What it means is it's ever-present. It's always there, okay? So ubiquitous Wi-Fi would be Wi-Fi available to you even if you're out in the middle of a field, out in the middle of the country where there's nobody around for miles and miles and miles. No houses, not even any Wi-Fi to borrow, in quotes. Yes, the idea is that Wi-Fi will be raining down upon us from space. How cool is that? This is the vision of Elon Musk, who, as we know, is as close to Tony Stark as we're going to get. I mean, you know, if he comes out with an armor, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Tony Stark, Elon Musk, Iron Man. Yeah, I can see it. Anyway, Elon Musk has the idea of using his company, SpaceX, to launch satellites up into the atmosphere, well, beyond the atmosphere, out into space, around the Earth, geosynchronous orbit, across the planet, bunches of little satellites. He calls them a constellation of satellites. Maybe he's a supervillain. Have we thought about that? Just saying, you know. At any rate, then the idea is that he has Wi-Fi raining down upon us. Now, I don't know if he's going to charge for this. I would assume he would. You know, got to monetize it somehow. But then again, he's a multi-billionaire. So who knows what his plans are? Maybe he wants to be, you know, a benevolent overlord. He really does sound more like a supervillain the more I think about it. Anyway, but it sounds cool. And he launched his first two satellites on a Falcon 9 rocket, I do believe. Yes, I think that's what it says here in the article. Falcon 9 rocket, and it will be replaced with a new Block 5 model rocket. So this is the last launch of this particular model of rocket. Not model rocket, model of rocket, okay? So he launched it, and it... I sent two satellites. I think it may be 10 satellites as I read this here. There was an issue with one of the 10 satellites being loaded into the rocket. The 10 satellites will help make up a network of 81 rotating in 6 different orbital planes that together can provide global communications coverage, 15 of which will add redundancy to the system, i.e., there are only 66 needed to provide coverage. This really does sound very much like a movie scenario. I don't know if you ever saw the Kingsman movie. Boy, that was a violent movie. You know, it's one of those movies you watch through your fingers. Ew. Okay, I saw it on TV. Fortunately, they had tweaked it a little bit for TV, but it was still rough. But they had a whole lot of satellites that was redundant. You could take out several of them and they still would work. Except his plan was to kill everybody because it was like to control the population of the Earth. Supervillain. Did I mention that? And this particular supervillain was being played by Samuel L. Jackson with a lisp. Supervillain with a lisp. It was very odd. But at any rate, Elon Musk hopefully is not a supervillain. If he is, it'll be on the news. More news at 11 on whether or not he's a supervillain. What do I know? Anyway, watch this space, literally, slight pun intended, for more information about ubiquitous Wi-Fi when they finally get it working. Oh, and the other bit of news on this is that the FCC actually approved this plan. The FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, who is much maligned for his stance against net neutrality, sadly, he is excited about this plan because he wants it to allow Wi-Fi signal to those that are not as well-to-do, shall we say, out in rural areas. So he's excited about it. So he pushed it through and it all got approved. And it's down the road a little ways. But at some point, now what I'm excited about personally, to be honest, I have my own personal reasons for really wanting this, is that I help run an internet radio station. And of course, internet radio requires a connection to internet. And a connection to internet can only be provided through a physical line or fiber optic line or Wi-Fi. So if you have ubiquitous Wi-Fi, then you could actually have Wi-Fi like in your car, right? And you could then get the station that I work with, along with all the other tens of thousands of internet radio stations, through Wi-Fi. So the future is almost here. Now, speaking of the future almost being here, I have one more thing for you. Otherwise, we'd have a very short program. So I hope you held in to the last for this. But this is a demo that I want to show you. of the Viva Rove unit. I'll put up the name of it here on the screen. Viva Rove. Okay? And what that is it allows you to put Alexa in your car. So, pretty cool unit. Works very well. It has extremely sensitive microphones that reject road noise and so forth super well. And it gives you the functions of good old Alexa in your car. I said the actual word a while ago, and the unit over next to me went, bung. So, you can't say that word unless you really intend to use it. But at any rate, here's the demo of the Viva Rove.
Alexa, stop. All right, this is in my car, and I'm zoomed in on the Rove Viva device plugged into my cigarette lighter in the car. The two cables coming out of it are charging cables for phones. So there's no other cables connected. It's entirely over Bluetooth. Alexa, what time is it?
The time is 2:03 p.m.
Alexa, what's the weather today?
In High Point, it's 69 degrees Fahrenheit with mostly cloudy skies. Today's forecast calls for more of the same, with a high of 73 degrees and a low of 37 degrees.
The device is connected in to my radio. The radio is set up for Bluetooth connectivity to the Rove Viva device.
Okay, so see, it works pretty well. Now I got to play with it a little bit, and you may notice that on the screen of the radio, it said computer bra. There's no such thing as a computer bra, okay? That is Computer Brains, which is the name of a song by a group called Petra, all right? But it truncates the phrase, so it says computer bra. So it looked really weird on the screen to have computer bra on the screen. Rest assured that as far as I know, there is no such animal. All right. But that was the demo of the Viva Rove. And it was on sale, still on sale, I think, for a few more days at Amazon.com. It's normally like $75. It's on sale for $49. So I kind of took the jump and got it. And I really like it a lot. And as you saw, there are two ports where you can come out of that for your charging of your phones and devices in your car. And they're actually, you know, charging ports. In other words, they're higher voltage than a lot of things, so they charge it more quickly than some things, and yet safely. So, very impressive technology. I don't have my phone handy, or I would show you the app. It's nothing much to see. Once you turn it on, it's just a screen. So it's not that exciting. But you install the app on your phone. The stepping through the process to set it up was really easy. And you connect via Bluetooth. So there's no wires. Now, there's an option to do wires, but I didn't have to because my radio in my car, which is Jeep Compass, has Bluetooth connectivity. So I was able to connect to it that way. And I like the fact that it does display songs that you play on the screen, even if it truncates them in embarrassing ways sometimes. At any rate, hope you enjoyed the program this week. Join us again next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.